Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, it was another virus-consumed week. Health and safety around the world are, of course, the main priority, but the arts world also continues to take painful hits. Imagine the book you've been writing for 3 years was being released this month, or your first gallery show going up, or my current beat being theater, that production finally getting up on stage. And so the sad but not unexpected reports of shows closing way ahead of schedule continues. Last week, I mentioned that The Hangman, which was in previews on Broadway, would not be able to continue its run when all this ends. So, too, the latest revival of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, that one starring Laurie Metcalf, was also in previews. Now, whether the cancellation is due to finances or Metcalf's TV schedule, well, it hardly matters. A lot of folks were invested, and tickets were being sold. Alas, it goes down before officially going up. Now, I don't want to get in the predicting business, but I would imagine Girl from the North Country, Jagged Little Pill, and Tracy Letts' new drama, Minutes, must be looking at numbers and schedules and making some tough decisions. Speaking of Broadway, it's no surprise that the Tony Awards, usually scheduled for June, have been delayed at best. Traveling national tours are also, by definition, starting to fall away. Tony-winning revival Once on This Island has hit the brakes mid-tour, right before opening in Los Angeles. Clearly, all touring shows will be affected, and some companies' entire summer seasons threaten. The Ashland, Oregon Shakespeare Festival, a beloved event employing so many performers, has just canceled theirs. All eyes here are on the Public Theater, which will have to decide about its Shakespeare in the Park schedule. Now, the good news is that the theater community has stepped up big time, and the virtual variety has come to the rescue. Video recordings of plays are generally not great, much is lost in translation. This can be due to lighting and other production values that simply don't come through on screen. But there are some that are better than others, obviously. Last week I mentioned National Theater Live, whose film productions are excellent and worth checking out. But there's so many other kinds of stage-based entertainments also coming at us. For starters, if you go to Broadway.com, which I also mentioned last week, you should be able to catch the special event that Rosie O'Donnell hosted a week ago. This is a star-filled, fun, and much-appreciated couple hours. Tonight, March 30th, the Red Bull Company is presenting a reading of Tis Pity, She's a Whore, pardon the expression. It was a highly touted production of that company a few years back. I assume one can get it digitally after the first performance as well. Viewers will get an idea of what a relatively cold stage reading is like, which is always fun. Another offering that sounds tempting is called Segal Talks, S-E-G-A-L. These hour-long discussions about the arts take place Monday through Friday at noon Eastern Time. And it can be found on www.howlround.com. Each discussion emanates from a different country, which should be interesting. The Manhattan Theater Club here has a nice selection of videos you can watch, including behind-the-scenes goodies like from a 2015 production called Prodigal Son, starring a then LaGuardia student named Timothy Chalamet. I am proud to say I reviewed that play right here, and I told listeners to remember that name. New York City Center, I am excited to report, is offering some of the treasures of its inimitable Encore series. Archives is the magic word here, and all theater companies are exploring theirs, and we are the better for it. Some even invite you to take the stage, so to speak. The Jewish Women's Theater, for example, is hoping virtual visitors will create and share their own stories. Today Tix, a helpful website, is presenting something called the Distancing Diaries, a way to hear what stars and other creatives are doing during this stressful and uncertain time. Anyway, lots going on that way. Now, I also want to mention two recent deaths of people, not shows, who were important figures in the theater community. First, of course, the playwright Terrence McNally, whose list of works is right up there with the best, or at least most successful of the last several decades. A few of his titles: Lisbon Traviata, Lips Together, Teeth Apart, Love, Valor, Compassion, Masterclass, Frankie and Johnny. Not to mention the books for musicals, including Ragtime and Kiss of the Spider Woman. He received many Tonys and other awards throughout his long career. And by the way, you can go to the 92nd Street Y website and watch a wonderful evening for McNally that was done there in October of 2018 to celebrate his 80th birthday. The playwright himself is interviewed and is joined on stage by some of those who worked with him, including Nathan Lane and Christine Baranski. You'll even be treated to Lane and Baranski reading a scene they last did together 27 years ago. You want to work with the best people, Lane said on stage at the Y, and Terrence is one of the best. Baranski noted how McNally wrote beautifully for the female voice, she said. While he should not and was not termed a gay playwright per se, McNally made no secret of his lifestyle. He leaves a devoted husband behind. Many of his plays dealt with sexual issues, and he was one of the earliest active supporters of Equity Cares Broadway Fights AIDS. He was a giant in the theater world. He died at 81, yes, from complications of the coronavirus, though there were several pre-existing conditions. His voice will be missed, but the lovely thing about theater, playwrights' voices never go far for long. The other noteworthy passing was for one Julia Miles. Now, I admit I did not know much about her, but she founded the Women's Project, today known as WP Theater, for the simple reason that she realized very few women were getting their work on stage. WP has since produced some 600 productions. Miles was 90 years old and clearly much admired by all the female voices she either discovered or supported or both. Finally, it's challenging, but no surprise, that these horrid events often bring out the best in those fortunate enough to have a platform. Some of the greatest art has come out of times of crisis. Didn't Shakespeare write four of his best works during a plague? Joanne McFarland is a poet and artist in Brooklyn, and I just read an interview with her in which she said, "I see this as a moment of explosive opportunity. The hardest thing of all has been accepting that loss and grief are often part of tremendous growth. I don't know what's coming, but I do have infinite faith in our ability to adapt and create." I love that quote, Jill. I like that spirit, and I do feel this crisis will bring out the best in those who have a place to put their emotions.
Absolutely, and I had a quick question. You know me, I go through newspapers about a year and a half, way late. You know, I walk around with a stack. I drive around with a stack. Some of the shows, like, for example, Marley, they've been announced for next year. Do we have any sense of what's going on with that?
And And by the way, I checked in London, of course. I just wanted to confirm that everything at the West End, all those plays are down as well.
Everything's down. And so, and also, wouldn't some of these companies be eligible for these the SBA grants?
Well, that's a very good point. The nonprofits
Nonprofits are it's quite interesting. You know, this bill that was just passed is intended to
for that. Yes. That's a really good question. I don't know. There are entities that are in charge of all the nonprofits, and of course, nonprofit theaters get a lot of money from state. They get most of the money from state and federal grants.
Because the specifics about this particular thing is it is meant to cover people who are just put out of business, so to speak, by this set of circumstances.
I don't know. That's a good question. You know, the theater companies are not down. They're, as you can see, they moved online for now, but they're raising money like crazy. Don't get me wrong. They're going to be in desperate need when all this is over.
I was thinking about the shows that were on the road, et cetera.
That's a very complicated thing, the National Touring Company. I just did a big article on that, which has to be changed now because everything has to be changed now because of what's going on. Those are run by companies, very specific companies that are in charge of national tours.
Live Entertainment or what, I don't know who does, but I just know for...
Yes, there's a lot of those that do that. Yeah, listen, everybody...
For music, right. No, but this is what makes it, let's just say, interesting, and this is what makes it there's going to be a restructuring, a reconfiguration, and in some cases, not before time. You know, we have maintained structures and infrastructure that has been dubious at best.
Yeah.
But way too much trouble to...
This is going to challenge everybody. I mean, 16 Broadway shows were set to open before April 23rd. And that ain't happening. That was because of the Tony deadline. Whether they even ever open is a question now, because they're still in the point where they were trying to get investors. And, you know, again, compared to people dying, it's, you know, it's way down the list. But on the other hand, it's a lot of people affected by this, viewers and employees and performers. You know, thank God, what would we do without the internet right now, you know, where they have a place to put all this? Anyway, usually I have qualms about so much social networking, but boy, I'll tell you, the theater community, as they did after 9/11 too, boy, they rise to the occasion.
And something like $1 million+ was raised last night for a little concert that was hosted by Elton John in living room.
Yep. And that was online, right? Or was it on TV?
It was on TV.
It was on TV. Yes, I heard somebody mention that.
But the fact is that in this time where where people can't buy groceries and where they certainly can't pay their bills.
Yeah.
It's something that we've always found is the people who have the least are the most generous.
Absolutely. And, you know, theater people, film people too, you know, Hollywood too, you know, steps up at times.
They definitely give. Yep.
But not like theater. Theater people, because they live, you know, show to show.
That's right. Day to day. They know what it's like.
Absolutely. And, you know, the show must go on. Well, apparently not. But, you know, some entertainment goes on. Culture goes on. And thank God it does.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens. Produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio. RobinHoodRadio.com.